and welcome to the Destiny Prague podcast. Our heart is to see people empowered by the love of Jesus and activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Word of God is still relevant today, and we trust that this message will bless you, challenge you, and fill your heart and mind with the truth of who God is and who you are in Christ. We believe that God has a plan for your life, and we want to journey a road of discipleship with you as you discover who He has called you to be. If you'd like to connect with us, check out our website at destinychurch.cz. Let's go.
My name is Dilara. I am one of the leaders here at Destiny Church, and it's my honor this week to preach. I'm going to be talking about Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. And last week, as Donovan said, we had Pastor Liam Smith here, and he was talking about Daniel 1, and he was taking it from the perspective of that Daniel was placed in Babylon, not voluntarily, but still God used him there, God prospered him, right? And even though the environment was not great, people didn't honor God, people were chasing after the fame, the wealth, right? And Daniel stayed faithful, and he was fruitful in what he was doing. And I was smiling when Pastor Liam was talking about his testimony, that, you know, he had a like complete opposite plan for his life. He was about to move to London, right, for this like a fancy job and everything. And I remember the first time when I heard the story was the first time when Pastor Liam and I met one-on-one. And it was when I just started going to Destiny. So he wanted to get to know me more. And he asked, so what's your plan? Like, what are you going to do in like next 2 years or something like that? And it's so funny. I don't even know if he remembers that, but I was like, you know what? Like, I don't like it here. I'll probably move in next 1 year or something. I'll probably move to Texas. My friends will be there. There is job opportunity. And then he shared his story, and I'm like, you know what? Like, that's your story. That's not mine story. So, and man, I was just like thinking about how great it is that man has many plans in his heart, but the Lord's plans will prevail. And I'm so thankful that I'm here. I don't want to leave now. And I remember, maybe you guys can relate, because there are so many people from different countries. And when you come here, it feels like you're stuck, like you're not moving anywhere. Like people are coming and going, like students are here just for one semester or something like this. And like when everything around you is changing and you're still here, it kind of feels like you're being stuck here. That's how I felt for like many years. And I was thinking, I just need to get my permanent residency. And then once I have it, I can go somewhere, like I can try to live in this country and then country, and then I can like come back. I have a friend here at the church of 10 years. She will tell you all the ideas of how I wanted to move anywhere. But once I received this card, that was my free ticket to the world and that would allow me to go back, right? I understood I don't want to leave. Like, it's so good in here. Like, I'm in the midst of just God's plan for my life, God's will for my life. God is moving here, and I don't want to leave. So just a short testimony. Just encouraging. God's will is the best will for your life, guys. We in Destiny Europe, our leaders in Destiny Europe, decided to start preaching on different aspects of being on a mission together. And I'm looking forward to this theme, because church was never meant to be just for our own entertainment, right? Or just to spend our Sunday morning and then leave. So I'm very excited to hear about missional mindset. And what I'm going to be talking about today is just a reminder, an introduction of why we do what we do, what we do, how we do it, right? And the answer is always Jesus. So before I'm going to go start reading from the scripture, let me just give you a background of the story. So Jesus was doing his ministry, right? Public ministry. I'm going to be reading from John 13.
Can
improving. In John 12, Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, and he then spent time with his sister and him, right? So like the ministry was thriving, Jesus was performing miracles, and the chapter 13 starts with this verse. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And it was never a secret, right, why Jesus came. He, from the beginning, was telling, I'm here to preach the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here indeed. And he revealed to his disciples, right, that I'm going to come, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise on the third day, I'm going to come back, and then I'm going to go to the Father. I'll send you the Comforter, and then I will come back for you. So we're still waiting for the second coming of Jesus, right? And this chapter, when it says, like, the hour has come, meaning the culmination, right, of the story, the whole story of Jesus, the cross, where he bore every sin upon himself. In close to 24 hours, Jesus would hang on the cross. And Jesus used these precious last hours to spend it with his disciples, to train them, to serve them. Let's start reading from John 13, 3 till 11. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. The whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. Now, this is not a teaching of how to keep your hygiene going. We're not going to wash feet today. Audrey, you can, yeah. I told her about the teaching, and she's like, please to not wash my feet, and I don't want to wash feet of others. So we're not going to do this today, but this is, if someone said that we're not going to do this, someone said like, oh, okay. This is a spiritual meaning, right? Jesus, a lot of the times he used something physical, something very practical to explain spiritual things. And I want to look at this passage, and I'm going to finish reading it a bit later, but I want to take this passage and look from the three point of view. First point is, why is it important? Why is it so important that, you know, it's in the Bible? Like, what's the big deal of Jesus washing the disciples' feet? The second point is what it means for disciples of Jesus. And the third point, what it means for us, how it is relevant for us today. So I'll start with this explanation of that tradition. So if you're in Israel and you walk in your sandals, your feet are usually, well, obviously dirty, right? And when you come to someone else's house, they offer you to wash your feet, because then you will participate in the communal meal, and usually the tables were low, right? So your feet will be exposed. And the task of washing feet was not the task of the host, it was actually of the lowest servant in the household. And when Jesus began to do the job of the lowest servant in the household, that was an extreme act of servanthood. Because in Jewish tradition, the relationship between teacher and a disciple, the teacher could not demand or could not even expect a disciple to wash teacher's feet, right? And when the master would wash his disciples' feet, that was just an unthinkable thing, right? That's why Peter exclaimed, no, like, you cannot wash my feet. This is outrageous. This is not normal. Like, people don't do this. This is not how it's supposed to be. Like, you are the Lord, you're the King, you are Almighty God. I'm supposed to wash your feet, right? And what I liked in the first verse, in the verse 3, which I read, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up and started washing feet. So Jesus performed this act not out of the weakness. He performed this knowing his true identity, his true authority, his power. And how did he respond to this once he knew it? Did he demand the service? Did he triumph? Did he complain that disciples need to pay him a higher honor? Or did he belittle them? Did he say that, rebuke them, saying that you should wash my feet because I am the King of Kings, you're just disciples? No, he actually rose from the table, got the towel, and started washing the feet. And I feel like many people see God as this demanding God, right? As this who would, that we need to work to get his approval, to get his a condescension. We need to do X, Y, Z to prove that we're worthy of him, right? Yet our God gives it for free. It says he loved us to the end. It's like he's saying that you don't need to perform any meaningless religious acts for me to love you. How about I'll show you my love first? So undeserved and costly. How about I lose my life just for you to see how much I love you? And when you understand this, when you understand how deep my love is for you, you will want to love me. It will not be a mere task. It will not be something that you're supposed to do because you come to the church or your family comes to the church. No, you will actually desire me sincerely and not just because of the law. That's how Jesus chooses to portray himself as the servant sacrifice of Isaiah 53. He wants us to see him like this because he will do anything just to get you. He does not care about his status or reputation. He does not care that he is the highest priest, yet he is there on his knees washing disciples' feet because he wants you and he cares about you. I think this is such an important just picture, and I can say many words about this, but I'll just pray for Holy Spirit to reveal this because, yeah, it's one job to say right out loud, but the Holy Spirit gives you the revelation. So, God, I'm just praying these words and this picture of you, Jesus, being the servant God, seeing on the just high above and deserving all honor and all praise, God. And you come in here in washing disciples' feet. You're coming here in serving as a sacrifice for us. Holy Spirit, I'm praying, let this words become a reality to us. Let this words sink deep in our hearts, God. Reveal this to us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what did it mean for disciples? In Luke 20, 23, it says that the disciples actually entered the upper room where the meal was hosted. They entered the room arguing between themselves of who is the greatest in the kingdom of God. But Jesus, hearing this, right, he illustrated true greatness. He saw their proud hearts and their dirty feet and decided to show them the lesson, decided to show them like what they need to do, right? How they need to love each other. And since there was no one who could wash their feet in the household, it never occurred to the disciples to wash the feet of one another. I can imagine just them maybe thinking, you know, Peter is thinking, like, I'm not going to wash the feet of John. Like, he's so annoying. He always tells, like, that he's Jesus' favorite, like, and that Jesus loves him more. I'm Peter. I'm the rock. Like, he's supposed to wash my feet. And it's funny that the decades later, when Peter wrote to Christians about humility, he said this: all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. It's 1 Peter 5:5. But more literally, the translation is wrap the apron of humility around yourselves. And this is an illustration of Jesus wrapping around the towel around his waist, right, to dry the disciples' feet. I'm going to finish reading from John 13, 12, 17. It says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus is showing the example of how we're supposed to love one another unconditionally, serving one another, putting the other person above ourselves. And this is not usual thing, right? This is not what the world will tell you to do. But he's saying here, you will be blessed if you do them. The example of Jesus should mark the attitude and the actions. And the question that I was thinking is, aren't we sometimes like the disciples of Jesus? Maybe we don't say it out loud. Maybe we don't argue with each other. Hopefully, I've never heard anyone arguing about this. But sometimes thoughts will come to our mind, right? And saying, well, I deserve this more. Or I think I'm better at this than the other person. I came today just like being prepared, you know, to talk about servanthood and everything. And I was actually delightfully received a confirmation that this church already operates in it. I came here and Jessica was like, Wusu, he carried all the chairs from downstairs and he put every chair by himself here. And then I went to get a coffee and I'm getting like lactose intolerance or something like that. So I don't drink milk. And I went to the coffee table and I saw a lactose-free milk. And I'm like, oh my goodness, who bought it? And I'm like, I came to Jess because she knows it. And I asked her and she's like, no, it's not me. And I'm like, who was it? And Martin said like, yeah, I heard many people having like the problems with lactose. So I decided to buy milk. Like people already are operating in it. But I want to just honor our pastors because I've seen them doing it multiple times and I only see probably the fraction of what you guys are sacrificing and how you're doing this. I mean, Donovan is working right full time, a partner in Deloitte, and he is going above and beyond just to be here and preach the word and cry every time he talks about God. But I remember this moment, there was a conference in a different church, but Jessica was helping and heavily involved in the preparation, in the flyers, in the all of their organizational stuff. So we went to another church, we love them dearly, and we came there and it was just like, we came for prayer, it was a bit delayed, we're like, okay, cool. And we're just standing there and like talking to each other. She did not demand any special treatment. She did not come there and say like, well, I'm the pastor here, so like talk to me or something like that. No, she took a look around the room. She realized that there's not enough chairs. She saw the pile of chairs in the back and she went and started putting chairs. That was not her church. She did not need to do this, but she started doing it because she saw the need and she fulfilled the need, right? And I saw her doing this. I follow her example. Then a few other people that were there from Destiny, so us doing this and followed the example. That's how it works, right? This is a story. Jesus gave us example of how to serve one another. So we have to follow it. One of my favorite story of just our friendship with Jess and Don, there was a COVID time and I really wanted to see one person in a different city because that person just needed community and love. And I don't have a driver's license. And when I checked how to get there by public transport, that took me like 3-4 hours or something like that one way when the car drive is only like 1 hour or something like this. And I texted to Jess and Donovan asking if they would drive me there and we will take a road trip out of this. And again, they have kids, they have jobs, and it was Saturday, one probably one of their only weekday off. And they said that, yeah, we will do this. So we drove there. Donovan was playing with Eli on a playground while Jessica and I were talking to this person and ministering. And this person still nowadays says, like, I cannot believe that you did it for me. Like, I cannot believe that you actually went there just for me, just to talk with me, just to pray for me. And this is the acts like this, right, that the matter. And you guys never heard about them. This is the first time when I mention it. Like, so imagine how more just things like this they serve. And obviously, don't post on Instagram. No one needs to. Not a lot of people needs to know what you're doing is great, right? So in our culture nowadays. And I encourage you, if there is a position in the church or at work where you will not get any recognition, any things, where some people don't even want to, you know, do it because it's too heavy or too hard, I would recommend to do it. Not because we need you to do this. I think we're super blessed with our volunteers. I don't think that there is a lack of anything right now at the church. I'm not asking you to do this because we need more volunteers. I'm asking you to do this because it will bless you. Because you will experience it, what it does to your heart. Recollect that Christ's way of rising is to go down. He descended that he might ascend, as so must we. Serving is not of what I do, is who I am, is the posture of your heart, right? It's the attitude of your heart. For what does it mean for us nowadays? And I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about the difference between washing by blood and washing of feet, obviously not literal again. Just to touch the topic of being on a mission together very, very briefly. So the difference between washing by blood and washing of feet. Jesus was talking about being bathed, right? It means the entire body. It means once and for all. It means what he did on the cross. He went there to bear the sins of the world, right? He did it once and for all. And now your past, your present, your future sins are forgiven. You're righteous before God. Being washed, it means that our feet are washed in ongoing relationship with Jesus. It's the act of purification, right? Because he desires a pure bride. And he still does it today. Yes, the cross, it's a great act of eternal life when Christ once for all absolves the sinner, takes him from under the dominion of the law and puts him into the family of God. But how patient it is that here he one day by day washes our feet. One day by day bears our sins, purifies us, deals with our heart, with our character. And I know my character. It's not the easy one to bear and to deal with. So to dry up a flood of sin is something marvelous, but to endure the constant dropping of daily sins, to bear with that constant weary trying of patience, this is a divine indeed. The way he washes your feet daily is as well that he does not leave you in your suffering. It wasn't like he died for our sins and said, peace out, coming back, see you soon, right? No, he actually wants to get involved. He wants to get deep in your life, in your mess, and heal you and just walk with you, fight for you, fight with you. He's content to suffer in his people's suffering. This is the moment when we're going through something and he's just so perfectly needed saying something to our story, giving us the picture. The Bible passage that we randomly open will speak directly into our story. And at this moment, you don't know what to admire most, the love that you experience or the care that he just showed to you. Because we think, well, you've done already so much for me and you still keep on coming and serving me. You still keep on coming and washing my feet daily. He's like saying, I will come and I will have such sympathy with them in their entire grief that from the beginning to the end, they will feel peace. They will feel joy. Jesus loves his people that every day is washing their feet by just accepting the poorest actions from us, by reminding us of who we are, by feeling the deepest sorrows, by forgiving sins. It's not just majestic deeds that he performs, but humbly, patiently, still like a servant, he goes among people and washes their feet. And he does it without us asking, right? Disciples did not ask him to do this. He will come even if you don't ask him to do this. I think you can see the difference here, right, between Christ putting away sin by the blood and by the water. And I think we owe him that just the gratitude and praise that after having once set us free, he day by day, as our friend, washes and serves us. He's also saying that there is no part in me if you will not let me cleanse you. And I think that's the reason sometimes when we experience God for the first time, we experience the forgiveness of the sin, we experience this marvelous deed and the love for us, and we feel close to him. But then when he wants to clean us, we just go away. We don't let him permission to work in our hearts. And perhaps this is why you feel distant from him sometimes. He says, if you will not let me cleanse you, you don't have part in me. I think that worship team can come to the, at the back. And to see love like this, I feel like it moves our hearts, as I said, to love him sincerely, but also to do something, to share this love, right? There are people who need this love. There are people that need this hope. And when I was thinking about the feet, obviously, I was thinking about the other verse, right? It's from Romans 10 in Isaiah 57. It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And I was imagining disciples of Jesus walking from town to town, preaching the gospel, wearing the sandals. I don't know if they had shoes or not, maybe not. But I'm imagining if I look at their feet, swollen, bloody, dirty feet, I would say anything but beautiful. And I can imagine when they get tired, when they were weary, when they were just persecuted and were in this position of, man, why am I even doing this? Like, what am I doing with my life? They would look down at their feet and remember that Jesus himself washed them, washed those feet, and that it will wreck their hearts again and they will keep on going. That was their reason, right? The man who I don't deserve even to know, to be in the presence of, he came for me, he knelt down before me and washed my feet. And they will say, this is the man that I'm preaching about. This is the man that I'm worshiping. He is worthy of everything. Jesus is the reason. And as we're going to go to the topic of just being on a mission together, I want to say one thing and then I want to pray for you. But one thing is that you guys here are obviously for a reason. You have a beautiful plan, a beautiful destiny for your life, each and every one of you. And just a reminder that you're not the tail, you are the head. There is an authority in your life. There is a mark in your life. There is a calling in your life. And when I was praying for this, God gave me the picture. And this picture was actually confirmed by Pacific. And that's how you know that the Holy Spirit is working. I had the picture earlier this week of me just walking on the straight path. And the path that Lord prepared for me. And there were a lot of just trees and leaves that like blocked me from freely walking on this road. Then I took something in my hand and I started just like to wipe them, like to cut them, right? And I believe what it means is that there are some lies in our heads that will block us to go on the road that God prepared for us. And this is the tactic of the devil, right? He wants to steal your destiny. He wants you to think that you're nothing and you will not do anything in this life. But God speaks the truth. You aren't the head, you're not the tail. And I came here, and Pacific is in a prayer team, and I was just sharing like, hey, that's what I want to do by the end. But if you guys struggle with lies in your head, just doubts in your head, you can come forward and we will pray for you. But I shared this with you, and she said, that's what I was telling to Jess just like today, like a few minutes earlier. That's what I felt on my heart. And that's how you know that Holy Spirit is working, right? So can I just close your eyes? I'm going to read the three lies that God highlighted to me. And if that's you, I will ask you to raise your hand, and then I'm going to pray for you. So everybody, just close your eyes, please, to honor privacy of other people. First lie says, there is no special calling in my life. I cannot bring any gifts to this world or to this church. I'm just a normal human being. I don't think that there is any potential in me. So I don't think that God has a special destiny for me. The second lie sounds like this. Saying yes to God is too dangerous, and I'm afraid what it's going to cost me. The third lie says, I'm not worthy to do God's work because I don't have my life together. Maybe I sinned too much. Maybe you're still in the sin and you think that you cannot be a hypocrite and God cannot use you. So if this you guys, can you just raise your hand so I will know? Thank you, Jesus. You can lower your head. God, I just pray for people who raise this hand, their hands, God. I pray for every lie to be broken in the name of Jesus, God. I pray these people that saying that there is no special calling for me, God, I break this lie in Jesus' name, and I just pray in the design over them, God, that you created them so authentically and so perfectly, God, and you're going to reveal the calling, you're going to reveal the destiny that you have for them. God, I'm praying for these people who saying that following God is too dangerous. God, I'm praying that they will understand that being in your will, it is the safest place to be, God. I'm praying that they will remember that your yoke is easy. God, and these people who are thinking they're not worthy to do your work, maybe because of sin, Holy Spirit, I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you do something inside of them, God, that they will not want any longer to go and do the same thing, God, to have the same thoughts, God. We break in this in the name of Jesus, God. All addiction, all the pattern of thoughts that are not coming from you, God, we're breaking it in Jesus' name, God, and remind them that you are Redeemer, that you take something that it's bad and dirty and you turn it into something beautiful and pure. God, I'm praying that this leaves and trees that were blocking our ways, God, I'm praying that they will be replaced with light in Jesus' name that will actually make clearer the path that we have in front of us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you, Lord.